Making this up of Borough Council's planning committee. My name's Brian Cross and I'm the committee chairman. Just a couple of points before we start. If you have a mobile phone, can you please put it onto silent? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? On my right, I have officers from the planning department, and on my left, I've got officers from the law and administration department. Officers from the planning department will present the application as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. There is a table provided at the centre of the room, and I will indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Board members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which will be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity such as that enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework, the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Item 1, minutes.
None submitted, Chairman.
Thank you. Item 2, apologies.
Chairman, apologies from Councillor Adjeler, who substituted the senior by Councillor Trowbridge, Councillor Peter Jones, who substituted by Councillor Beattie, Councillor Paul Dessy, who substituted by Councillor Godfrey, and Councillor McEwen, who substituted by Councillor Kenny.
Thank you. Declaration of members' interests. Councillor Cooper.
I'd like to declare a personal interest because I live in the Haywoods, which is the subject of item 5 in the planning applications. I'm happy to take advice as to whether you think this excludes me from.
I'll ask our legal officer.
We had a discussion before the meeting started where you've explained the circumstances of where you live, and we've agreed that it will be a personal interest you're declaring, so you can take part in the meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Beattie? You don't have to press anything, just speak in direct into the mic.
I should know that, shouldn't I? Thank you, Chairman. I don't think it's relevant, but I declare it anyway, that I chair the AOMB, Planet Chaser AOMB Joint Committee and Partnership, and the comments have been received from the AOMB Planning Officer in relation to this application.
Again, I'll defer to our legal officer.
No, I don't consider that's necessary to declare
as
an interest.
Any other interests? Any lobbying? No lobbying. Item 4, delegated applications.
Chair, they'll be distributed to members in the usual way.
Thank you. Item 5, planning applications. If you turn to page 4 of your agendas, application 20/3371/FUL, land off Little Tixall Lane, Litchfield Road, Great Haywood, proposal residential development of 117 dwellings. I'll give way to our planning officer who will give the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. This application is for the erection of 117 dwellings, including 34 affordable dwellings and associated infrastructure, on a site within the settlement boundary and immediately east of the built form of Great Haywood. There is an extant permission for 77 dwellings on the site, which the applicant has started to build out. The access of the A51 is complete, and 22 units to the north of the site are to be built out under permission 21/33987/FUL, which relates to amendments to an area reserve matters approval. The layout of the site remains broadly as previously approved in terms of the road network, ecological corridor, amenity space and drainage features. The increasing number of dwellings would result in changes to the density, house type, orientation and spacing beyond that which has previously been approved. The plan and aerial view show the location of the site to the east of Great Haywood, with the A51 running northwest to southeast. And the aerial view. The photo plan shows the location of the following five photographs, number 1 to 5. The first shows the western boundary of the site from a central position. The dwellings, those on Marlborough Place. You'll note the photos were taken in mid-December 2020, so you can't see the dwellings as it is today. The second shows me southwards along the eastern boundary of the site. The third shows the vehicle access, which was under construction at the time of the photograph. The fourth shows the site from the northern boundary. The houses on the right are those on Marlborough Place again. And the fifth shows the western boundary of the site along the rear of Marlborough Place, looking north. The first plan is the location plan showing the contours of the site. The second is the proposed site layout. The third is the approved site plan, approved under application of 18-27961. This remains the approved layout. This is a comparison showing the approved and proposed layout of the site. Plans 4 and 5 are sections showing street scenes within the proposed development. Plan 6 shows the enhanced play area and proposed play equipment. Plans 7 to 13 show a variety of the house types proposed within the development. And plan 14 shows the proposed materials, including the facing brick, tiles, doors, and windows. There is one update on the officer's report, reference the plots 109 and 110 with regard to the impact on the tree on the northern boundary, should be plots 107 and 108. This is due to the reduction from 119 to 117 dwellings. The plot numbering has changed on that. The recommendation is that the application be approved, subject to the conditions listed and the applicant entering into a Section 106 agreement to secure a range of planning obligations.
Thank you. I've got one objection and one supporter. Mr. Andrew O'Donn?
Yeah.
If you care to step up to the table, sir.
Thank you.
Make yourself comfortable. Speak directly into the mic. You don't have to press any buttons. And start when you're ready. And I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left so you can sum up.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, councillors. I'm Andy Dunn, I'm a councillor within Colwich Parish Council. Great Haywood is designated a Tier 3 key service village in the Stafford Local Plan, and as a result, we've seen several recent developments in the area provided circa 170 new dwellings within the village. With little to no improvement to local infrastructure, including the drainage systems, which I'll return to. Outline permission was granted for 77 dwellings, with the scale of the residential development being considered to be acceptable at the time and reflected the advice given by the officers. Further variations have been approved, and this has led to the provision of an access road direct off the A51, with Little Tixaway West being terminated, thereby isolating the new development from the village. This new application proposes to significantly increase the number of dwellings from 77 to 117. That's an increase of 52%, but without being anything to the burden on the local infrastructure, the drainage systems particularly. The Parish Council objected to the proposal giving a number of reasons. The ones I'm going to summarise is the increase in the size of the proposed development is unsustainable due to the scale in relation to Great Haywood. Notably, the Stafford Borough Council Local Plan 2040 issues an options consultation document, recognising that Great Haywood had already received a disproportionate amount of housing that's excluding this present development. The lack of safe pedestrian disabled access to the village, and there's a continuing failing there to address the underlying issue of the lack of pavements on Little Tixer Lane. There still is no pavement down that road. And from previous experience of the residents, the existing surface water drainage and foul systems within the villages are outdated and insufficient to take additional load. The inadequacy of these drainage systems was included in the neighbours' comments. Great Aywood has seen an increase in the occurrence of flooding in recent years, which has significantly affected local residents and those, including those living on Main Road, Trent Lane, and more recently the uplands of Marlborough Close.
1 minute ago,
thank you. The latter being adjacent to the development site. The recent reported flooding in several dwellings in the uplands comprised of red-coloured water from a sewer in the rear garden and is thought to originate from the development site given the colour of the water. Both Severn Trent Water and Staffordshire County Council are investigating, but yet have not accepted either party's not accepted responsibility, and obviously that's distressing the residents. The homes affected on the main road are believed to be as a result of a cover being lifted through to the heavy flow rate in the sewer to the rear of the homes. And then there's the residents of Trent Lane. They're at the bottom of the village, and any significant rainfall usually ends up down in their road. The lead local planning authority has consistently objected to the planning application, and in May 21 questioned the sizing of the sub attenuation basin, the use of the 25 litres per second limiting discharge, and the method of calculation of the likely flows. This objection was removed in July 21 with the caveat that no development commences before the final design.
Can you sum up, please?
Yes, but it's unclear why that was removed. To summarise, further increases the quantity of dwellings in Great Haven, which is already considered to have disproportionate number of housing. It's a further strain on the drainage systems, and there's an increased risk of the local homes flooding, which the village has already seen and has been reported. Therefore, the recommendation we would like you to make is to reject, but obviously that is for your consideration, and I thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. You may resume your seat.
Thank you very much.
Do you come answer any of those at this moment?
No, we'll wait.
You're right, thank you. I've got a supporter, Mr. Seabridge. Could you come forward, sir? Take your seat. Again, sir, you'll have 3 minutes. Start when you're ready, then I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left so you can finalise.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members, ladies and gentlemen, following extensive consultation and detailed examination of this planning application, your officers have recommended approval consistent with all policies in the plan for Stafford Borough and the National Planning Policy Framework. Importantly, this site is an allocated housing site in both the plan for Stafford Borough and the Coleridge Neighbourhood Plan. A Zoopla property report last week highlighted the shortage of new homes as high than at any time in the recent past. The application before you will provide an additional 40 homes on this already permitted housing site. The additional 40 dwellings will provide not only much needed affordable homes, but will also take pressure off finding other greenfield sites and will assist the borough in meeting its target for 10,000 homes, 1,200 of which are proposed to key service villages, of which Great Haywood is one. The site, as you have heard, has an existing consent for 77 dwellings at a density of 14 dwellings per hectare, compared to government guidance of 30 dwellings per hectare. This application takes the site density to 22 dwellings per hectare, still lower than government guidance, but notably at a lower housing density than that of the surrounding wider Great Haywood. High access to the site is already constructed and in place. It has been designed to trunk road and motorway standards for housing numbers in excess of those applied for, and the first homes, as you have heard, are already under construction on the site. Your officer's report confirms the application provides open space, an upgraded play facility, an ecological corridor, and sustainable urban drainage systems, all agreed through the planning process and relevant consultees. Objectors have suggested that flooding will occur, that the site density is too great, and that additional traffic generated will use Coley Lane. The sub's attenuation pond has been designed to mitigate against the impact of climate change and ensure protection from, rather than worsening, flood risk. And as previously alluded to, the housing density is low in both the surrounding village and government guidance.
1 minute, you go, sir.
County highways have approved the scheme, and I cannot understand the argument that additional traffic will use Coley Lane to Little Haywood when traffic can directly access the A51 to Great Haywood, where most village services are located, more quickly and more directly. The site is now on a slow build programme awaiting the decision on this application, and the site entrance was constructed many months ago, such that a decision on this application, made in November 2020, is urgently sought. Mr. Chairman, members, consistent with the agreed agenda item before you, I respectfully urge you to accept County Highways and your own office's clear and unequivocal professional advice and recommend this planning application to your approval. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to take questions from members if there are any. Thank you.
Thank you. We may need that later, but not at this stage. You may resume your seat. Another ward councillor, Councillor McEwen.
Could I have image number 5, please? Number 1 where it showed the street scene.
Okay,
that was street scene. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everyone. I believe this development is development by stealth, or rather, overdevelopment by stealth. As the officer report states, there's a long history on this site going back 8 years. And back then in 2013, there was a sort of test the water, let's put 157 house planning application in, see what happens. Well, quite rightly, it was turned down. However, 6 months later, and undeterred, the applicant comes back and says, well, not 157 this time, it's only 77. And that's going to be more acceptable, isn't it? They also promised at that application that Little Tixall Lane would remain open in both directions. Then a site layout was put forward in 2017, and that was granted in July 2017. Then in 2019, a variation of conditions application was put in, which very quietly and surreptitiously indicated that Little Tixall Lane would be closed off and not remain open. However, when this committee came to have a look at that variation of condition, it was too late. The horse had already bolted because County Council Highways had already approved it 2 months earlier. This application to go from 77 to 117, as has been said, is an increase of 52%. Was it all part of a master plan to begin with? Who knows? But this application does trip itself up by having this huge increase of 40 properties. Because when the 77 properties was approved by this committee, it was noted that the site layout shows a spacious arrangement of dwellings. However, on this application, the officer report says, due to the increased density of development within the site, there are instances where the separation distance between some of the dwellings is less than previously approved. The council's design officer raises concerns regarding the implications of the proposed development upon the wider landscape in terms of urban design. This is a rule 7. There are instances, he says, where frontages are dominated by areas of hard standing, where the council's design officer suggests are sterile and featureless areas. It's obvious that these applications have taken up huge chunks of planning officer time, and I'm appreciative of all the work they put in. But it's also quite clear that the applications over the years have slowly ground down any resistance, and that the council itself, officers, have been hamstrung by the 77 properties that are under construction right now. Almost any argument against this planning application has been prefaced by It's already there. It's already started. But is that a reason to improve and to increase by 52%? An application that the applicant was quite happy with previously. And if 52% is acceptable, what is the upper limit? Where do you go from there? Would it be acceptable if you have 1,000 houses and you increase that to 1,520? Where's the policy issue regarding this? This development needs to be better, not bigger. And cramming in 40 more families is not making it better. Where are the local amenities? None, I promise. A parade of small shops or even a pub might have helped. And the pedestrian access into Great Heywood is either non-existent down Little Tixall Lane, there's no footpaths, or an unmade track that the Staffordshire Police describe as unsafe. At no time has been any indication by the applicant as to why this increase is required. This council's climate change policy and planning policy says that we should seek to put development where there's access to more amenities, public transport. Cramming 40 more families onto an isolated, remote and disconnected site, overdeveloped, is not going to help that climate change challenge. Everywhere, everyone on this site will be required to drive their car. That is a matter of fact. That is not what we should be thinking about in climate change. And I would ask this committee that it can show teeth by saying, one, this is more heavily densely designed than previous, crammed on 40 more families with nowhere to go apart from in a car, and it's against our climate change policy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. You may remain there for any points of clarification. Do you wish to come back now on the options?
No, we'll just wait for the members to
debate. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you please put up the Plan 3 and Plan 2 to check? Yeah, that's the one. Lovely. When you look at these from a distance, you think, well, there's not much difference. But actually, when you look close up, you see that there's a lot of green space being taken away. The play area and the green corridor, ecological corridor, is being squashed. If you look at it really closely, you can see. The difference where the footpath and the hard standing is compared to the green space. And when you read the comments from our, sorry, I had this all online when I was doing it at home, but it won't let me know online. So you'll have to bear with me. When you look at the comments of BAG, open space and leisure facilities, it says policy C7 requires that a general principle open space and recreational facility be provided on a large site. So this is now a large site, and by adding 40 more houses onto it, we've made that green space smaller. Absolutely not logical whatsoever. So I would say this is against policy C7 straight away. The comments made by the officer is it's approximately a third less than it should be now, because instead of it growing with numbers, it's actually shrunk. So I'm actually in total agreement with Councillor McEwen, because I noted as well 2013 was the refusal for 157 houses. Since there's been an application coming in 2017, 18, 19, 20. They keep changing it. This sort of thing really winds me up.
if you're putting an application in for a big site, it should stay as is planned and not keep grabbing a little bit extra. So I will listen to what everybody else wants to say, but I'm really against the leisure facilities on the site. Even though they're supplying the money, that isn't the principle. This isn't a contained site, as we've heard, has no facilities, there's nowhere to walk, nowhere to go. Very much against it, I'm sorry.
Thank you. But on page 7, you could refer to the council design advisor, and it states that it's acknowledged that this application is to be considered in the light of the extant already existing condition. And on page 8, he also notes that the separation distance between buildings and the relationship of frontages to street is relatively generous across the site.
I'm referring to page 18, the leisure facilities.
Thank you. Councillor Kenton.
Yes. Can I just ask you then, you said that the design officer made the comments on pages 7 and 8.
Yeah.
I thought that was the officer that was presenting the actual application that made those comments. When do we get actually to the design officer?
It's further in there. However, if you give way to our planning officer, Councillor Kemp, please. Yes, I'll take you again. He wants to answer some of the things raised previously.
So the comments of the design advisor are obviously all listed in the consultation section of the report, but there are instances within the report where the comments are referred to specifically. But those comments are then taken into the planning balance and the officer's judgment in coming to a recommendation throughout the report. Going back onto the comment about the open space, if I can, policy C7 does state as a general principle there will be a presumption that open space, sports and recreation facilities will be provided on the development site. The council's leisure officer hasn't raised objections to the proposal here in view of the announced pay provision. So the offset, which is covered in section 8 on page 18, there is a shortfall that comes to a value, a monetary value, and that monetary value has been put towards enhanced equipment within the site.
Thank you. That's answering Councillor Trowbridge's question.
Yeah, but I need to come back on that. Admittedly, you're talking.
Well, I'll let Councillor Kemp come to you. Councillor Kemp.
Right. I'll start on page 7. And it says at the top of page 7, under the character and appearance, it says, although the noticeable difference would be the number of units and the density of the development. And then a bit further down, it talks about prominent areas would be enclosed by high brick panels rather than closed board fences. In other words, you know, almost like being in a situation where people can't see anywhere. There's a number of concerns by the design advisor on page 8 about this one particular house with a side garden. But he says it on that basis and reasonable to refuse it. But when you go through, you keep going across the different the markings up. I've got markings again on page 10 about the guidelines of SPVs recommends private amenity space of at least 65 square metres of property with at least 3 bedrooms, reducing to 50 where the property has 2. And it tells there that there is at least 2 properties in there that fall below the accepted limit. In other words, the garden's been pinched. And you go you carry on. You've got a problem a bit further down about having a bean storage area. And it says to reduce the potential for antisocial behaviour in area of poor light and surveillance where the access is removed from an alleyway. There's a lot of ifs and buts in this, but if you keep going through, I mean, this car parking business on page 12, majority of the plots with 4 and 5 bedrooms would benefit from 3 parking spaces, and it numbers again 3 actual units that have got a single garage and 1 external parking space. In other words, they're already six parking spaces up.
But it also says that this has already been approved on page
10. Yes, I know. And
also on page 10 you referred to, it said whilst plots 18 and 80 would have private amenity space, measured in only 43 square metres and 63 square metres, respectively, these will be 2-bedroom properties, therefore complying with the SPD.
Thank you for telling me that, Chairman. But if you allow me to continue with my bit of this, I mean, that I was on page 12. And moving on, I think there's a comment here that really sets out the. On page 18, and I think this is what Councillor Trowbridge was talking about. The development of 117 dwellings triggered the requirement of on-site open space, and then it gives this very large number, with a value of 107,122 pounds 10p. But then it says, due to constraints on the site, including the retention of the corridor, the on-site proposed is less. And it tells you what the shortfall is. And I think the real damning one is a comment on the top of page 21. And if you look at that map, those plans ahead on the screen, it says the layout remains largely a cul-de-sac and fails to explore the option of linking into Marlborough Close. Now, you have to look at that to find that every house on that estate will exit onto the 51. Every house, there's nowhere else that they can get off. In other words, you start at the very bottom, very close to where Andrew is sitting, that person's got to travel all the way up to get off. The person in the next cul-de-sac is in the same situation. This is really overdevelopment of a site. And I really amazed when they talk about, well, this was approved. This was approved. We've had cases before where we looked at what was approved a number of years ago and say, it's not approvable now. And I tend to think this is one of them.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you wish to come back in? Councillor Phillips. Sorry, Councillor Trowbridge.
I just wanted to come back on the comment that you said about the open space. It states in here that on page 18 that it was acceptable to have some off-site provision when it was 77 dwellings. So now I feel that her hands were tied. But it's not only that it changed, this is the bit that really, really grabs me. It's not only that it changed to the extra 40 houses and no more green space, it changed to the 40 extra houses and less green space. That's the bit, they pushed the green space. sure that's what would have happened. I hate this piecemeal.
Thank you, Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman. I have to agree with some of the comments that have already been made by my fellow councillors about the changes that are being made on this side. I know that there are a number of things that have been pointed out already, but I have to on page 8, I have to point out the lines here where it's talking about the proposed development would result in a broadly acceptable urban grain and character. Broadly. There seems to be a lot of broadly acceptables and acceptable with. I don't like the term acceptable. That to me is not an encouraging term when we look at a development. I'm also really disappointed to see that there's been a lot of trees removed on the street scenes here. I see that it's been relocated to the green area, but you're taking away from the street scene. Why remove trees that's supposed to make a street look like a natural area, bearing in mind where it's situated, and make it more urban? I don't understand the need for that, particularly as this developer seems to have had a lack of imagination, resorting to the same style of housing and car parking, this street car park style that we seem to be seeing all over the borough that developers seem to be popping up, and we have refused these time and time again. It's unimaginative, and to then remove additional trees to make it look less than a car park stuck in front of a row of houses, I find is quite absurd, really. We have to remember where this development is. It's a beautiful area, and if you're not enhancing the area, then what are you doing? Why are people going to want to be coming and living in shoeboxes on an estate that's being down designed and not up designed? I just don't understand it. I really don't. I'm really disappointed with this. Really disappointed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Do you wish to come back?
If I can come back on the open space comment again. On page 28, the latest comments of the Capital Sports and Leisure Officer, she did clarify that an off-site contribution is no longer suitable because this is now a larger development. So the development of 77 houses, it was considered that off-site contributions are acceptable. As the site entails more dwellings, then the provision should be on site. Also, in the interim since the review of previous applications, there has been significant financially put into sites in the local area. And that was part of the reasoning behind the comments that there should be an enhanced provision within the site.
Can
I come back?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, if you put up plan 6, that shows the enhanced, which is a slide, a seesaw, a roundabout, a boat cut in half, so I gather that's an enhanced seat. You know, this to me isn't enhanced at all. This is normal, and it's less green space is what my point is, which is against policy C7. In fact, I would go as far as to say I would reject this on policy C7 because of lack of leisure and green space. Especially we've all just been locked up for the last year and a half. Everyone has stated how leisure facilities and parks are so important and how getting out into green spaces, and yet we swashed the green space down from the original 77 houses, going to squeeze in another 40 and make it less space for them. I'm totally against this. Because I haven't got the internet, I can't give you the proper wording of C7 even, which is so annoying. Mm-hmm. We've got to get the internet sorted out in this room.
Yes, it could be.
The planning officer will bring his copy of the local plan policies. No discussions between each other, councillors. If you wish to say anything, you say it through me.
Yeah. Provision A in the policy C7 looks in terms of enhancing existing provision where there is a deficiency. In terms of this application, it's not proposed that there's an off-site contribution. There is provision within the site, and whilst there's a deficiency within the quantum of open space provided, that is compensated for by the enhanced provision, which, in terms of what you can see on the screen, is up to the monetary value of the deficiency to which Sports and Leisure Officer accepts. So in that respect, there isn't actually it's not contrary to policy C7.
Are we talking about the whole site at this application, or the extra 40? Because that's how
we make a difference. The whole site. We're looking at a contribution for 117 dwellings, and that's the reason why, notwithstanding other obligations that have been sought, that the Section 106 agreement needs to be amended.
But the last application where it was the 77 houses, what we secured is plan
the comparison.
Plan 3. We secured that in the last planning application, didn't we? Plan 3.
That was part of the general layout. Now here you can see that whilst this layout is not as spacious because of the increased numbers. In terms of the open space provision, it's been accepted that the enhanced provision provides sufficient compensation.
Yeah, I understand she's accepted it. I'm saying I'm not, and we're in a different meeting now. And so we are here, we can reject if we wish. But what I'm saying is, if I could bring the internet up, I could read out what was accepted with the 77 houses, and I'm sure the leisure facility would be on there of what was accepted already. So we are now downplaying the leisure and green space and green corridor, so we are no longer enhancing, because that is already secured. So we are going less, not more.
Well, in terms of the previous permission, there was actually an off-site contribution towards Jubilee Plainfields,
which
is no longer being sought because there have been additional contributions towards that. Therefore, the Sports and Leisure Officer accepts and acknowledges that this development only requires an off-site contribution.
No, I did see that, and that's where she said 77 could have an off-site contribution, or did have. That's what I was referring to on 18, that it was and that is where I think we should stand our ground. Maybe the officers on the internet, when I read through her...
We haven't got the internet, Councillor, I'm sorry.
I know, but it's so frustrating that
I've got five other councillors who should speak. So you're repeating yourself time and time again. You're making the same point.
Mr Chairman, can I just make a final comment, please? Before the agenda, before the report was finalised, we actually did go back to the Sports and Leisure Officer to clarify the position in respect of open space, and you can see comments dated 10th of August, that's why they are so recent. And within that, she does clarify and confirm what her position is. So we have made investigations, we have queried the issue, and that is her position.
Okay. Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm really glad that Councillor Trowbridge is hammering home this point over and over again, and I'm hoping that we're all listening to it. Another 40 houses. So to be economical, say another 40 cars, when in actual fact we know that possibly each of those homes could have two cars. So that's another 80 cars. This development is isolated. There are no facilities on this development. We talk about reducing our carbon footprint. How on earth can we do that and rest easy tonight if we pass this development with all this additional traffic? These families and these people who buy these houses, who perhaps even live on their own, are going to all have to travel to wherever they want to go. There's nowhere for these families to socialise. There's no pub, there's no shops. Mental health will suffer, maybe not in a large number. I wouldn't like to be stuck on this isolated development. It's really, really worrying that we're even considering these additional houses. We're told that there's going to be a play area, and the actual equipment that's been read out is woefully underneeded for these children. These days, children need risk-taking equipment so that they can learn to grow and take risks in everyday life. And it's just not good enough. The green area, the space for them, has been really, really reduced, and as Councillor Phillips said, the trees are being moved. I'm sorry, this is not something that I am going to vote for, that I shall wait until the whole debate's finished. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah. In terms of bringing back to first principles here, the site is located within the KSB, and therefore, by definition, within the local plan, that is a sustainable location. In terms of the service provision, the planning obligations in relation to education, affordable housing, open space, etc., they are being secured. So what we're saying is, in terms of service provision on the site, the applicant is providing what is being required through the planning obligation. And we can't really judge this application by the service provision within the wider locality. What we are securing through the obligation is what is being required. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Chairman. I can't remember the exact figures that Ed mentioned, but there was a space allocation in relation to the 71, and that obviously decreased in relation to the 117, but the 117 was still well within the allowance relative to the guideline, which I think you said was 30 something.
Is that for the garden spaces?
Yes.
Do you want to clarify?
Please.
So, guideline 3 is related to garden spaces. It recommends 65 square metres for properties with at least 3 bedrooms square metres where the property only has two bedrooms. So obviously that, they're the only two compared to this site. 65 square metres and 50 square metres.
You did use the figures 17, 22 and 30.
Was that the plot numbers you're talking about?
I think that's housing density.
Yeah, housing density.
It's housing density, I think.
I think that was the speaker, one of the public speakers.
Do we accept those figures?
I can't confirm.
Because if we're moving to a figure of 22 in relation to a standard of 30, then I would have thought that was acceptable. We're operating well within the standard if what we're saying is right. And I think that my view is that this is quite a the revised site is quite a well laid out site.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cooper.
Thank you, Chair. Before I start, I'm not a hydrologist. I wish I was a qualified hydrologist and I could make more technical comments on this. I can only go by anecdotal evidence. I don't know whether the rainwater and the sewage is combined to run off down into the main village of Great Haywood. But I personally, before this development was even thought of, have seen the manhole cover outside of St John's Church lifted off and sewage and toilet paper coming out of it. That's before a proposed 114 houses are being added to that weight. I'm also aware that residents in Marlborough Close, when it's rained heavily, have seen springs literally coming up through their front gardens and running down their drives. That's just, I needed to add that in, but I'm extremely sceptical about when I hear these various reports from Severn Trent and things, I think, what are they looking at? Because that's not what I've seen, and it's not what other villages I know have seen.
Unfortunately, Severn Trent are the
hydrologists,
but the main people on this, and on page 25, you can see there's no objection, and it gives the sewer numbers and the surface water number that is supposed to go into these drains.
Totally agree with you, and yet I personally have seen sewage overflow.
Thank you. Councillor Beattie, and then Councillor Cannon.
Thank you, Chairman. I've actually seen, because I've lived in Great Haywood over numbers of years, and I've actually seen grain boats going down the main high street because the water is so bad. That's not the point I'm going to make. I am bothered, as you might expect, by the concerns that the design advisor has expressed. For instance, the layout remains largely a cul-de-sac and fails to explore the option of linking to Morton Close. In fact, the materials have a monotonizing impact on the overall character and feel of the development. What particularly bothers me is that when we deal with comments by our design advisor, I am inevitably told that this is a matter of planning balance. And on the matter of planning balance, it seems design advisor's advice is always overtaken by other planning considerations. And I put that in the context of the government's latest diktat from this last July, where it very clearly says that if a design is failing on new development, that the application should be turned down. And this application seems to fail on numbers of design features. I don't know what the officers have to say to reassure me that design is preeminent in making decisions on these new developments. And I may say that is after I appreciate the design advisor will have had endless discussions with the developers.
Thank you, Councillor. Can come back on that.
So,
paragraph 135 of the OPDF does state that local planning authorities should seek to ensure that the quality of approved development is not materially diminished between permission and completion. So obviously, in light of the design advisor's comments, he hasn't objected to the proposal as it stands. He's raised concerns for potential improvement. Those concerns do obviously come in the context of an exempt scheme that is currently being built out. So obviously making significant amendments isn't always possible. He has advised that the scheme is generally acceptable. And comments that he's made in terms of the areas of hard sanding, for example, the recommendation is that there are conditions attached to any approval to ensure that there are appropriate materials used to mitigate any impact of significant areas of hard sanding. Further to that, impact in terms of wider landscape. Impacts on the wider landscape are likely to be the same from a scheme of 77 or 114 dwellings. It's the visibility and the impact within the site that we really can be considering under this application in light of the extant permission.
Thank you for that. Can I just come back on that?
Yes,
it does show how very important it is that these developments by stealth are not allowed. This should have been subject to a master plan, and the developer should have been held to that master plan from the outset. And you know, whatever one says, the design advisor has obviously got very serious concerns. It comes out at every single bullet point that this is not an attractive development.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Kenny.
Thank you. This design and the current one which has permission are virtually a gated community. It's within a, or should be within a
key service
village, but it isolates itself. And the only integration that it actually has, and that's in the current planning application, is the off-site facilities at the Jubilee playing fields. By putting the new sort of play area and that within this site, it further isolates this part. And I believe that also there was an opportunity here to actually integrate by the design by bringing it into Marlborough Close, but that opportunity hasn't been taken. It's just an isolation. It's not even a form part of the village, in my opinion.
Thank you. Any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Trowbridge.
I haven't heard anything positive for this site so far. So I'm going to suggest we send this back for redesign. Send it back and say, we want integration, we want the design officer's input to be larger, and is there anything else? And we want to look at the space about these dwellings and make sure that the back gardens are large enough in all of them. That's my suggestion. If anyone would like to second my suggestion.
I don't want suggestions, I want proposals. And
that's
my proposal. And I want the material planning conditions that you're proposing.
You don't need a material planning...
for refusal.
I'm not refusing, I'm saying send back for redesign.
To defer.
My apologies. So you're proposing we defer this item?
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to come back on to clarify one point. Councillor Trowbridge, when you say about integration,
yes.
Can you just expand upon that for officers?
Who made the point? I'd like Councillor Kenny to expand on that, if possible, please. I can only leisurely.
There is actually no linkage here between this new design and the actual village itself. There has been mentions of there could be a connection along Marlborough Close. It's just an isolation. If it had a few shots in the book there, it'd be a village in its own right.
Yeah, that's fine.
And there, seconded. Did you second that, Councillor Canning or Councillor Phillips?
No, I wanted to comment and also on this.
You want to comment on the proposal?
Yes, please.
Karen.
I'm still not happy about the design, the layout, the planting out on this development. It's if we send it back for the redesign, we need to also look at the planting and the design there, because we're taking away planting and just moving it around the sides and making the street scene look worse long term. You're just giving a car park appearance, and that's not, it's just not pleasant. I also have concerns as well with regards to the planting. It does say on page 7 that a recommendation was made that more robust structural planting to provide visual mitigation should be provided. In submitting amendments, an increased number of medium and large stature trees within the ecological corridor amount provided and when mature would be likely to assist in filtering views of the housing when viewed from the AOMB. Well, would be likely. We need to do a little bit better than that, I think, if we're in an area of outstanding natural beauty. We need to be looking at the way that this site is planted out. And I would like to see that included. I'm also not very happy about the car parking as well. Absolutely.
Again, if you have comments, please make them through the chair.
That will come under design, the Council of Beauty.
Thank you.
Would you like me to repeat the
if you would, please.
So it's defer for a redesign, including integration in terms of a linkage to the village and in respect of Marlborough Close. SPD distances between windows. And in terms of the overall redesign for the urban designer to have, or the design advisor to have a larger input. And also in terms of improved structural planting, both within the site and in terms of wider views and in respect to the street scene and the appearance of the car parking throughout the development.
I think an issue that has been dominating is the fact that this is an isolated site and that there should be an attempt to integrate it more within the village. And I think that should be reflected in our
That was stated, Councillor, when they mentioned Marlborough Close.
Yeah, I'm thinking wider than just Marlborough Close. It's the point was made about its relationship to the whole of Great Haywood.
Councillor Kenny has said linkage into the village as a whole.
Yeah.
Councillor Beattie.
Chairman, can I just add that should be in the context of the government advice that I mentioned. And I give you now the reference, which is the 9th of August 2021. It's very recent. It was first published on the 20th of July. I have mentioned it before at this planning committee. And it's the National Model Design Code. It very clearly says that if an application fails on design principles, it should be refused. And it's and that reads in my book that it's not a matter of planning balance. It's very clear instructions from government that bad design is unacceptable. But in this context, this is bad design because it's creating an isolated community that's outside the village context.
Got that noted, Richard?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else wish to comment at this stage?
It's Councillor Beattie making that a proposition. Motion.
I think it's everything that's been said by the various councillors has been added to what Richard's already said.
Yes, I think we wait and see if the plans are modified, and if not, I would be perfectly happy to recommend your refusal.
Okay. Want to read it out again?
Yeah. So, defer for a redesign, including integration in respect of a linkage into the village, the wider village as a whole, and Marlborough Close, to address deficiencies in SPD distances, to which the design advisors should have a greater input. Improvements to structural planting, both within the site, in terms of street scene and to wider views, and in terms of the appearance of the car, in terms of the appearance of the car parking, and also to give reference and consideration to the National Model Design Code in respect of isolated communities.
Chairman, didn't we actually also touch on the reduction in the size of some of the gardens? We were concerned about that.
So it's distances between windows and garden sizes.
Yes.
Is everyone satisfied with that?
So can we be looking at the number of properties that they are looking to add on to the site then? Is this over intensification? Is this looked at?
That's the word, over intensification of the site.
Density.
Well, we need to review the density figures because we don't have those to hand. We can make our own calculations on that.
I would like to think, through you, Chair, that the applicant is part. Sorry, Chairman.
I'm not an inadequate object. I'm sitting on the chair.
Thank you, Chairman, for that correction. It just goes to show, although my other half thinks I'm always right, apparently I'm not. I take it then that the applicant will be looking, or as part of this redesign, the number of properties that will be coming back to us.
Well, that's at the discretion of the applicants, of course. But
okay.
In looking at those considerations, that may impact upon the number of dwellings. But like I say, we will pose that to the applicant, and we'll wait for the applicant.
Living home.
Thanks for that.
Thank you, Chair. Just something clear in my own mind. This application is coming forward to committee tonight for approval. Presumably it meets all the planning guidance and fits in the Stafford Council's local plan.
Yes.
I'm fairly sure you know what you're doing to refuse this, or to defer it, because it's got to come back to this committee.
Yep.
It states in principle, it's not all.
Right, members, I've got a proposal for the reasons that our planning officer stated that we defer this item. All those in favour of deferring this item?
Sorry, Chairman, can I just check? Did somebody second that?
Yeah, it's seconded by
Councillor Phillips.
No,
I thought it was a formal
second. There was. Thank you.
Sorry,
Chairman. I thought it was Councillor Phillips who raised that, but it wasn't. Proposed by the Councillor. Trowbridge, seconded by Councillor Elwood, for the lengthy reasons that Richard read out. All those in favour of deferring this item?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Those against? Abstentions?
1, 2.
The application is therefore deferred. Thank you, members. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing else on the agenda, so therefore declare the meeting closed.